The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hello and welcome to The Winds of Change. My name is David Carollo, sitting in today for Father Anthony on his beautiful winter day in Chicago. I guess it's winter, and we all know it today as you start driving in the snow and the slush, but we're Chicagoans, so we're used to this type of thing. Let's start out with a prayer. I'd like to start it as noontime. Let's say the Angelus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary,
and she conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord.
Be done unto me according to thy word.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh,
and dwelt among us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. In the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So glad to be back here hosting the Winds of Change for Father Anthony, who's out taking a little break for parts of this week. I have two special guests here with me today I want to introduce here in a moment. Today I was looking at the calendar. Today is the feast in the old calendar, I guess, of the seven holy founders. I'm never sure if there's an old and a new calendar, and I see them both pop up, and I'm always looking. But the seven holy founders of the Servite Order, from Florence, Italy, and great tradition, of course. There's a couple parishes here in Chicago with their great tradition. I was sharing it with the guests here that. My grandparents were they were married at Assumption Parish in 1899, so it dates all of us, but it was beautiful. That was an old Italian parish at the time, and how the city changes, everything changes as we go along, but it's beautiful tradition and immigrant tradition in this country, you know. So today I have two very special guests, His Excellency Bishop Joseph Perry is in the studio, and Father Joshua Caswell of the Canons of St. John Cantius. And Your Excellency, welcome. Always good to have you back.
Good to be with you. Good morning.
Father Joshua. I wanted to talk today about a subject that's very close to our hearts, and that, of course, is... something you work very hard for, and that, of course, is the cause for Father Augustus Tolton.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we're a Chicago saint. We're looking for a Chicago saint, or hoping for the best, we pray. And of course, Father Tolton, his story is a beautiful one. I'm one of these people that I guess I'm very critical of how people don't handle adversity anymore in their lives. You know, we see that very, very much. The other night, I watched the State of the Union, and I saw at one point those World War II veterans that were up in the balcony, you know, and I thought to myself, could we take Omaha Beach again? And I don't really think so. That's really good. But then I think of Father Tolton, for example. Look at the adversity of this, that this man had and what he became.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I mean, it really is. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like that Americana thing. It's who we're supposed to be, you know.
Sure.
And we're supposed to really strive, but we overcome adversity. And, of course, not just him. You know, you look at the story of his mother. I mean, a tremendous source for force behind. And I would imagine all of us who have, and I know that all of our histories a little bit, we all had mothers who kind of prodded us. You know, fathers, too, but the mothers, when it came to the faith, boy, they knew where to keep us going and kick here and there, I guess, too. But that, but that's really what it is. I mean, we have families that develop us into who we are. And so, Your Excellency, maybe you can, for those who don't know the story of Father Tolton, maybe you can talk a little bit about his history and, of course, how his cause came to be.
Well, Father Tolton comes out of a past history of ours that is, in one sense, romantic, but at the same time, riveted with a lot of pathos and suffering. And while the country was still trying to grasp its own identity, and that's the Civil War, and then Reconstruction thereafter, which some people say was worse than the war itself. But Father Tolton was a slave on a farm in northeast Missouri, and along with his mother and his dad and two siblings. And right in the midst of the Civil War in 1863, their slave owner died, and he left no will. Now, Martha Jane's husband had already left to fight on the Union side. Frederick Douglass, the great orator, had met with Abraham Lincoln a number of times, trying to get him to agree to have black men fight on the Union side. And it was a slow, begrudging kind of a debate or argument. But anyway, Abraham Lincoln finally gave the permission. So this welled up with a lot of excitement on the part of black men to somehow grab onto freedom for their families and so forth. So Peter Paul had already left, so that left his wife, Martha Jane, and the three children there by themselves. Now, when the slave master died, there were people coming around looking to appraise the place and set up price tags on everything and divide it up with his heirs, and it included the slaves. We have in the archives the writ of purchase for the slaves. I think little Augustus was worth $50, and his mother, I think she was another $50. And then a brother of hers was marked at $100. He must have had a lot of muscles or something.
Right, more
valued. But it probably registered with Martha Jane that there was the likelihood that she would be split up from her children, at least the kids taken away or she sold off. She was a wedding gift to the Elliott family and in Kentucky. And she was never saw her parents again after that arrangement was made. And she decided that probably it's best to try to take the chance and run. Illinois, on the other side of the Mississippi, was a free state. And she must have calculated it. There are others who attempted it. Others didn't make it. Others did. But that's how it all started.
Mm, yeah, it's a beautiful story. I mean, and the courage of this woman, too. But, you know, what you do for the love of your children sometimes is beyond what you expect to even have inside of you, I think.
Sure.
Yeah. And it is a great story because it does, you know, you see a young man who had every reason in his life to be nothing but bitter, I would think, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But he understood there was a bigger mission. He understood, you know, of course, he had the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and you think about the you know, how God takes good from evil. You know, mm-hmm. the fact is that they were actually baptized and brought into the faith through the slave owner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, you know, and in many cases, you read a lot of history of some of the slave owners who kind of came through inheritance, came through other things. It wasn't like their heart wasn't necessarily in it. It's just part of who they were.
Sure.
And they understood the dignity, and at least they wanted, in this case, to see the enslaved people at least brought into, you know, brought into the true faith. And I think, and it's really a blessing in a way, because when you look at, I think one of the biggest issues in this country, you know, with black Catholics, of course, you deal regularly, obviously, throughout the country is so many were Christianized in the South mm-hmm. with the Protestant mm-hmm. thing. Okay, so that's why there's right. so many Baptists and others of the African-American people. Mm-hmm. And I've always found that, like, you know, oh, what a failure on our part, you know. And, of course, having done some work with Mother Angelica, not directly with her, but with EWTN television, having been down there yourself, of course, all of us, you know, her whole desire was to go down there and bring the Catholic faith to mm-hmm. a non-Catholic place.
Sure.
And boy, would she ever do it, right? When you think about sure. it. Yeah. But it was, but it's because, and with the exception, I guess, of Louisiana and that, you know, because there was a lot of great faith amongst the African people.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, of course, I'm the executive director of the World Apostle of Fatima, the Blue Army in Washington, New Jersey. And we have events all year. We have ethnic events. We have so many different things that go on. And some of them, I think two or three times a year, we have different Haitian groups that come.
Mm-hmm.
And the Catholic faith is really deep in these people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, so, of course, that's the French influence.
The French Catholic influence.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, excuse me, I think it's almost like a resource for the church that we've never really, mm-hmm. didn't properly attach.
You didn't properly handle it.
Yeah.
The Rome prodded the bishops of the United States to do something for the emancipated slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And they never quite got their act together.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
some were outright against it, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so we weren't there.
No.
Others filled in the blanks, and we see we reap the benefits of that now, or the lack of,
yeah.
even to this day.
Well, I think overall, I say one of the biggest issues we have in Catholicism in the United States is that our churches were primarily ethnic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They were.
Not just, you know, not just with the African people, but, you know, I grew up in an Italian parish, and I grew up in Roseland on the south mm-hmm. side. Of course, that's your vicariate. And mm-hmm. and I remember my mother made sure that we always had the Mass times. We couldn't have no excuse to miss Mass. You know, they're all written on a refrigerator. And there St. Peter and Paul, which is Lithuanian, and St. Anthony, where we went, mm-hmm. that was the Italian parish.
Sure.
St. Nicholas was the Bavarian parish. That's no longer there. St. Louis was French. Holy Rosary was Irish. But they were all ethnic parishes.
Mm-hmm.
And when the ethnicity, you know, dispersed through just attrition, I mean, people, you know, intermarry, people move on. You
sure.
know, it really
became more American.
It became American, exactly. I guess you know this area here, and of course St. Stan Kostka, where we're at, they still uphold the Polish tradition. And, mm-hmm. and my wife is from Poland, and my mother-in-law is at this parish. She loves it because she has the Polish Mass, of course. But
mm-hmm.
but not only that, there's Polish culture yeah. that's still strong in some of mm-hmm. these churches. And of course, Father Joshua, you're here with us, and St. John Cantius. That's one of the Polish gems, I guess, along the Kennedy Expressway, and so ethnicity is a big mm-hmm. part of part of our culture, but I think it's also our downfall to a
it
great
was,
degree.
Yeah, it turned out to be that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Your Excellency, one of the things I was really marveling at in the priesthood of Father Augustus Tolton was how it must have been for his seminary formation. I imagine that. You know, when we are in seminary, we complain about the trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine, could you shed some light on how he must have survived that time of discernment and how he persevered to the priesthood in spite of some of the things he endured?
Well, under his own pen and some of his speeches, once he arrived in Rome in 1880, it was an entirely different experience he had there than he had in the United States. It was a multicultural experience. The Propaganda Fide educated seminarians to go to developing countries. So they came from the Pacific Islands. They were from Africa, South America, Asia. Today we would call what was known then as Mesopotamia. So it was quite a mixed group. And he mixed in very, very well. He was very, very, very happy, so much so that thrown back here in the United States, he was thrown in an opposite experience, and that proved his crucifixion. But his experience in the seminary was absolutely delightful. He enjoyed
sure,
it.
Sure. Well, he wanted to be a missionary and go back to Africa. Isn't that
no.
the case? Right.
No.
Thought he could bring the faith to the African people.
No.
And, yeah.
This created quite a stir in the media here in America.
No.
They were. I remember seeing a Tribune article, the first colored priest.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just a bit of a sensational excitement about this,
mm-hmm.
that this was happening.
Sure.
How do you think do you have any reflection on how he must have felt about seeing that way as sort of a pioneer or how did this, how do you think this affected him in his priesthood here in the United States?
Well, Giovanni Simeone, the cardinal, made the decision, the last-minute decision, to send him back to the United States and not Africa, because the cardinal felt that the United States needed someone to evangelize the blacks in this country.
Sure.
And, but unbeknownst to the cardinal, he was fashioning the cross that Tolton would be nailed to, because no one had ever seen a Roman collar around the neck of a black man in this country before. And he suffered because of that. There was a lot of rejection, a lot of name-calling and all that stuff until the Archbishop here in Chicago rescued him.
Well, the church is not free of prejudice. Let's be realistic.
No.
Okay. We have to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'd like to continue this talk about Father Tolton's advancement, how he became and how accepted he was, though, by the disciples of the night that used to come. The white people wanted to come and hear him preach, too. So, so my name is David Carollo. I am sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750, WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Father Loya invites you to see the new Tabor Life website. That's taborlife.org. When you land on the homepage, you can see how Tabor Life can help improve your marriage, your life, and how to see the beauty of God's created order in your personal life. On taborlife.org, you can book Father Loya to speak to your organization about the key elements of leadership, relationships, and sexuality, as well as speak on cultural, social, and political issues. As a renowned artist, Father Loya can speak about how art, liturgy, and prayer fit together. On taborlife.org, you can see the many ways of how you can communicate with us. And as you look to the lower right-hand corner of the page, click on the messenger icon for live chat. And finally, Tabor Life Institute is a 501(c) charitable organization that earnestly needs your support. Click on the support link at the top of the page and donate. After all, Tabor Life is powered by you.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on AM 750 WNDZ. We're talking about Father Augustus Tolton and his cause for canonization, but his life and what brought him to the point. You don't just get canonized out of the clear blue, let's be realistic. his
out
life.
Out of the clear blue.
Out of the clear blue, right, right. But one thing you and I spoke of one time, Your Excellency, was how inspiring it was to many black people that they could see somebody they could relate to.
Sure.
And we all do that. We want to relate to those that we, you know, are listening to, look up to, that minister to us. And I think that was, I'm sure that was a big part of why they wanted to send him back here. I think the cardinal, didn't he make a statement, something about, let's see how enlightened the United States actually was. It was a bit of a sarcastic remark, but.
Considers itself the most enlightened nation on the face of the earth. But if that's true.
Let's see how.
Can't they accept a black priest?
Exactly. But it's true. I mean, the story and it goes maybe to a lesser degree, but still ethnicity. Look at the plight of immigrants throughout. You know, that's why you have immigrant neighborhoods, immigrant parishes, everything, because people stayed together.
Sure.
A lot of it was because they weren't really accepted. Of course, there were language barriers and other things, cultural things. But yeah, it is the way it is. I think, of course, with you know, black people, the assimilation wasn't quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really why it went as long as it did, you know. But But it is interesting. What do you see? I mean, for the cause, how is it going? And what I know, we were at the ceiling of the dossier. Dorothy and I, my wife, were there at the ceiling of the dossier. That's with Cardinal George. How many years ago was that? That was
2014.
2014. Mm-hmm. And of course, Father Joshua, you were there. It was a great day. I mean, and I wanted to just to get an idea of, you know, I saw like 5,000 documents that were sealed and sent off. You know, I happen to be the one I'm the director of the World Apostate of Fatima. And when Sister Lucia's dossier was sent to Rome, it was like 13,000 pages, and it was stacks of paper all over, all sealed, and you wonder why these causes take time.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of those documents has to be looked through. It has to be vetted for any issues or, you know, anything contrary to faith.
Fulton Sheen wrote 67 books.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, somebody said that if the two younger Fatima children who never read or wrote took 100 years to be canonized.
Yeah.
Think about, what it's going to be for others like Father Tolton. But it is beautiful. I know there are some miracles that are being investigated and all. Can you speak a little bit about them, or what the status is, or what the review process is on that?
They just started looking at the proposed miracles we sent over. We're waiting on a ruling. It's a panel of about a half a dozen physicians who have to sign off on it successively, that a turnaround in health is inexplicable. It's unexplainable by no medical science. If you get a couple of them that say no, then it doesn't go. It's the most nervous part about the process, but essentially it's our sign from God that this person is in heaven and this is all approved. As you can understand, this is not exactly the Golden Globe Awards or the Oscars.
Well, it's better than that, actually.
It's the highest citation the church can give someone is to name them a saint, and we don't like having to change our minds.
No, you can't do that.
So thorough.
Well, the church is thorough. And I remember when Pope John Paul II passed away, St. Pope John Paul now, when he passed away, there was this whole thing, santo subito, saint now. Well, the church is not subito. The church is not immediate, okay?
No.
And there's a reason for it. It's like you're talking about. They have to vet everything and make sure. Of course, in the case of a pope, everything's out there, I guess, and the works are there. But it's
interesting that you ask, because last Monday we did receive word from Rome that, see, when looking at all this, the diocese has to set up a historical commission and a theological commission. One commission look at his life, no one to explicate his virtues. Then in Rome, there's another historical commission and a theological commission that looks at what our commissions came up with.
Sure.
And the cause has passed both of those, all four of them, rather remarkably. Last March, the Historical Commission signed off, and then the Theological Commission on February 5th, just this month.
Okay.
So we look forward to the cardinals and archbishops of the Congregation for Causes of Saints garnering their votes, having looked at all of that material, and then making a recommendation to the Holy Father, which they will probably do sometime summer.
Okay. We could hear something soon, possibly, then.
Yeah, it's moving along remarkably well. Sometimes, they come back at you and they ask questions about this or this detail and they want more explanation. But I guess what we did was kind of thorough, and we tried to make it as thorough as possible.
Sure.
And it's moving along.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Your Excellency, if people listening now or people wondering how they can help support the cause, what were some of the ways they could get on board or be part of this?
Well, prayer is the most important. We have a prayer card with a picture of Tolton on one side and then the canonization prayer on the other. They can get those from our office and pray that prayer. People have used it often for favors, possible miracle, and so forth. They can also look at our website, our webpage, toltoncanonization.org, to follow the track of the whole process. We have several events a year. We go down on pilgrimage to visit the farm where they were slaves and the church where he was baptized and his grave. We also have a Chicago Tolton tour where we take people around to see the places that were incident to his life when he was here those several years.
Sure.
And Last but not least, our donations help us pay the expenses connected with prosecuting this whole thing.
And this is an expensive process. I think it's probably the biggest reason why more laity is not canonized, who may deserve it, because who handles the cause? Come from a wealthy family or something, or a religious order particularly, or we'll usually have an individual or individuals involved, in this case a diocese and that, and I think it has a lot to...
They're reasonable expenses. You have office people who are doing all of this, and then, of course, in Rome, which is the biggest piece, you have doctors looking at miracles, and they each have an invoice.
Yes.
translators, everything has to be put into Italian, from English. Those linguists have to be very exact. They have their invoice.
It is.
Everything costs.
Your Excellency, I remember when you spoke to our young adults at St. John Cantius, the Quo Vadis young adults, and they were very intrigued by the story. They were very moved. And I remember one young adult asked you the question, well, do you speak to Father Tolton? And you said every day. And this moved them a lot, because I think sometimes when we look at this process, it's like some historical reality. Of like we're looking back in history, but this is a person who is present now. Would you just say a bit about your personal relationship with Father Tolton?
We're in our understanding of sainthood and sanctity. We believe that those who have gone before us, the line of demarcation between them and us is really thin. They're not gone off someplace. And that feeds into our notion of intercession. So the saints do watch over us, and they intercede for us. We believe that, the Blessed Mother and all the saints. It's how we get our prayers answered, or at least considered.
Well, we live in eternity. Time in an eternity. Yeah. I think we have to ponder what that is, because time will end, and they're right here.
The kingdom of God is quite active. You have the church militant, which is us, fighting for the completion of the kingdom. Yeah. You have the church triumphant, which is in heaven. And then the church suffering, which is purgatory. Sure, those are on their way.
And by the way, on Thursday, I'm going to have as my guest Susan Tassoni, who is the purgatory lady. she's written another book on purgatory, and just they're all bestsellers. So she gets the word out, because I think people have to see there's a step to get to heaven.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen.
Exactly.
And I think that's what we have to understand. I think we are so, by a worldly standard, we look at, well, okay, I'm dying. Oh, and he went to heaven. Well, that's nice, and hopefully they did. And I think a cardinal I spoke with one time made the comment to me. He says, I'm tired of going to all these canonizations. He says, every time somebody dies, all they just talk about they're in heaven, which is good, and we hope so.
Yes.
But I know the late Father John Hardin always said to us, he said, you pray for everybody as if they're in purgatory.
Yeah.
Because you don't know.
We do that at every Mass.
Absolutely. We have to.
Yes, exactly.
We have to pray for people so they will get there.
Yes, I talk to Father Tolton every day.
Good.
He's done some nice things for me.
One of the ways I was really inspired by Father Tolton myself is that when you do work within the church and for the church, sometimes you can feel betrayed by human beings in the church, and that can be very difficult.
Sure.
And for me, I think what really hit home was when you mentioned that his greatest virtue was not holding the bitterness, or you may have said it differently, but his ability to forgive and to move on. He had a freedom, and that really moved me. And so I find myself interceding for him when I go to various meetings or things like that, so that I will not hold any of that bitterness, because the church is full of human beings, even though she's divine and holy.
That's the root of his sanctity. As you mentioned, he had other options. He could have turned to alcohol.
Yeah.
Could have left the church. You could have.
Many do. That's for sure.
We have a low tolerance rate for that stuff in our generation.
We really do. I mentioned the other day about those people at the State of the Union, the World War, the greatest generation. But there's something to be said for that. This is our parents' generation. They knew adversity, and then they worked around it and brought, and we are a product of our success, our parents' success more than ours, quite frankly. And we are, we have a, we have to understand that. Adversity does build character.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when we want things to go too easy, just because the TV doesn't work, you lose a little power. We're so dependent on the things that are it's a little scary to be very honest with you nowadays.
The consumer world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of fashions a perfect world, which is really Yeah. Unreal.
Well, it is unreal. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why when you read the lives of the saints and the journeys of those whose causes, in this case, we're talking about, you know, when you that's why I love like pilgrimage, for example, when you travel to the places and you see how people live, the saints, mm-hmm. of course, our Lord himself, Our Lady, all that, you know, it touches you in a way that stays with you because yeah. it's, you know, you're experiencing, you know, I remember just the other day with the feast day of Our Lady of Lourdes, the Song of Bernadette was mm-hmm. on somewhere. I clicked it on, and I remember I see this whole family living in one little room, mm-hmm. you know, and I think, oh my goodness, think mm-hmm. about that, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but it is what it is. We're soft, you know. But anyway, of course, Your Excellency, you're going to be joining us on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land mm-hmm. In July 22nd to the 31st, as we did last year. We had a great group last year. Mm-hmm. We enjoyed it, and looking forward to having you be with us again. It's July 22nd to the 31st, and mm-hmm. For more information on it, you can go to our website, bluearmy.com, which is we'll be sponsoring the trip, and we're just really looking forward so much to having you again. We had a
wonderful,
very, very great experience, and like I said, it's pilgrimage. It brings you, we're on a pilgrimage of life, this church militant that we are.
Sure.
And we move forward. We go with it, you know. So we have to take a little break, and Your Excellency, you're going to be leaving us at this point. So
yes.
I'm so happy that you came
Thanks
today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was a blessing to have you, Father Joshua.
Thank you, Father Joshua.
You'll be around for the rest of the show. I'm happy to see that. So, again, we'll be talking to you soon. My name is David Carollo, and I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School. Located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on AM 750 WNDZ, The Winds of Change. And there was a beautiful give and take on Father Augustus Tolton and his cause, and it really is. He's a saint for Chicago. I mean, that's really what's so important here, you know. I mean, we look in his story, I think, especially in this time of such political diversity and angst and all of that, you know, to have somebody who brings people together like that, I think is very beautiful.
I think that's totally it. He's a unifier, and I think that his cause is much simpler than some political, it's not some political game, it's not some something. It's about somebody who, in spite of discrimination, in spite of severe racism, in spite of great trials, they trusted God, they were forgiving, they were patient. And I think that, so I just encourage any of our listeners that if you are able to, the various events for Father Tolton, whether the Tolton Gala that Bishop Perry holds in the fall, Go to his website, find more about the cause of canonization. Yeah. We also have a drama coming to Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
It's actually going to be shown at St. John Cantius Church, this drama. It's the Tolton drama by St. Luke Productions with Leonardo De Filippis. And that will be shown on the 15th of March. That is March 15th. Actually, this is the first public announcement of this. Nobody knows about this. So March 15th, that will be shown. Yeah. And we also have Joyce DeRuga from the Archdiocese of Chicago. She's the editor of the Chicago Catholic, and she'll be giving a presentation on a book she wrote about the life. It's a beautiful biography on the life of Father Tolton. And so she's coming to St. John Cantius toward the end of this month, Black History Month, and that's going to be February 22nd at 7:30 p.m., both of these events at St. John Cantius. So.
And for more information on all these items, toltoncanonization.org or cantius.org is another website. Very informative and beautiful. Of course, I'm so glad Father Joshua is still here with us in the studio. And, of course, we can so many things that are going on in the Archdiocese and so many things that go on at St. John Cantius and here at St. Stan Kostka. Of course, you do a lot of work here with Father. And it is a I'm not living here in Chicago regularly anymore. I am here regularly, but not all the time as I was. And I do miss the energy of these parishes. Because it's really very strong. It really is. And, of course, Cantius is my parish, always has been for many years, and the beautiful work you're doing. So, Father, share a little bit of what's going on, both with St. John Cantius and the work you do throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. You're not just strictly at St. John's, really. You're involved in a lot of different things. And what's happening, as would be my question.
I think a lot of good things are happening. There is a lot of course, all the lay faithful are feeling a lot of discouragement from the malaise in the church and everything that's going on. But I think we have a lot of reasons for hope. God never abandons his covenant. That's the story of the Old Testament. And when I think about that promise of God, I think about these parishes here in the Polish Triangle. I think about St. John Cantius, St. Stanislaus Kostka, St. Mary of the Angels, St. Hedwig's, all these great Polish diaspora. Yeah. It's an amazing group. And I think that they're glowing embers of Catholicism still here. And I think that God has great plans ahead because, you know, people look at what's going on in the church and they say this is not the springtime of the new evangelization. But I think that that can be very, very difficult to look at everything that's being exposed and wonder if this is springtime. But especially if you're where I'm from in Canada and you see what spring looks like. I mean, when the snow goes away, you see all the crap. And I think that is the springtime. So we are seeing that springtime. Right. And I really believe that in spite of what's going on, these churches, these grand buildings, will once again be filled because there's a generation being raised up. So at St. John Cantius and the Archdiocese, we're going to do anything we can to take hold of what people's hearts are looking for. Oddly, within the Archdiocese, the October count, universally throughout the entire Archdiocese, the October count is this average mass attendance. That went down 4% within the entire Archdiocese. That was an unprecedented amount, so it's a great decline. However, at parishes like St. Stanislaus, St. John Cantius, parishes where there's this growing embers of faith, the October count actually went up 4%.
Well, when you give the things that people want, I always use the field of dreams analogy. If you build it, they will come.
Okay? Absolutely.
And they do. And I think, you know, the diversity of things that you do at St. John Cantius, sometimes people think that St. John Cantius is nothing more than this Latin Mass place. Okay, well, that's not true. I mean, you do have the extraordinary form of the Mass, and it's a beautiful thing, and it is kind of the foundation of the canons of St. John Cantius. We know that. But this is not just there are other organs. There's the Fraternity of St. Peter. There's the Institute of Christ Again, who are strictly Trinitarian and do beautiful work, okay? But the canons really do work throughout. You are really participating members in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Wherever you go. And I think that's what's so important. I think that's why you're able to evangelize more.
I'm very privileged to serve with the Parish Mission Vitality Commission, with the different Renew My Church commissions, and we're looking at ways that we can evangelize the city. And I think that many of these offices are beginning to look at the successes like St. John Cantius. There are many of them. But what has worked? And I think we are finished with these programs, which are not really doing anything. Policies don't work. So we're going to look at what actually is going to succeed. And I think the answer is a resounding, the sacraments.
Sure.
And I think that the mission of the canons regular, the great legacy that Father Phillips left us, that great mission, is, of course, the restoration of the sacred in all things. And so at our parishes, there's so many facets, whether it's sacred music, whether it's sacred art, right, whether it's the silent movie people, organ concerts. You've got this whole diverse crowd, and people are coming from all over. And I think that it's, you know, I had a Jewish friend, actually. He is one of Chicago's best photographers, David Joel. I'll say his name on the air. David Joel would say that, you know, if it wasn't for God, these people would kill each other. Because there's something about when people are united through beauty and through the power of God, they can get along. We don't have to be right-wing or left-wing. It can be a just like that Catholic, why are we here? Why are we going to church?
Why are we here? That's the question. Of course, you know, I mean, obviously we promote in my organization the message of Our Lady of Fatima. You know, what was the message of the Lady of Fatima? Return to living in accord with the Gospels. Very similar to what you're talking about, restoring the sacred liturgically. We're trying to bring that into what Our Lady asked 102 years ago now, is to, you know, bring people to live. You know, that's why every time the Blessed Mother appears, it's really not because she has nothing to do. Let's be realistic, okay? To get us back on track, okay? This is what you have to do, and this is where you're going to find your happiness. Okay, you know, and so in our organization, it's, you know, it's through the prayers, the rosary, and all these things. But I will never forget our founder, a conversation he had with Sister Lucia in 1946, 1947, when he founded the organization, our co-founder, John Hafford. He said to her, what is the most important devotion? What is the most important thing for people? The rosary, right? And she said, oh, no. The most important thing is for people to become holy.
Amen.
Amen. And that's really what it's all about, to become holy, because the rosary, the scapular, and any devotion, even the sacraments, they're all meant to make us holy.
The sacraments, the devotions, they are means to an end, not an end in themselves.
Right.
And so even we can see this sometimes with the Latin Mass. Some people make the Latin Mass an end in itself. It's not. It helps us to encounter God. It helps us to. And so we're going to use all the tools that we have. But I'll tell you what, if we are receiving communion, if we're praying the rosary, if we're doing all these things, but it doesn't result in us becoming holier or loving more or getting to heaven, then it will all be not.
It's an empty suit.
But the interesting thing, there is one of the things that we do, which is an end in itself. One of the sacraments is actually an end in itself, and that is the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, which is Christ himself. Because we receive communion so that one day we will have that eternal communion with God.
That's right.
It's the pledge of future glory. So
it is.
At St. John Cantius and throughout the diocese, whether in the various areas, we're looking at ways where we can really just take back the city for Christ. I mean, let's be honest. We've had rot within the archdiocese for 40 years.
Sure.
And it's just been, you know, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not calling out specific people. Mm. But we're saying that, you know, the fight we're fighting is against spirits and principalities and powers.
Absolutely.
And we want to conquer that through making people holy. And the more holy people you have in parishes, you have leaven. Those intentional disciples are able to go out to spread the rosary. The leaven is there. And I think that's what we want to do is, you know, not every parish has to look like St. John Cantius or St. Stanislaus. But I think that you have to be honest about why are you in a parish? Why are you going to Mass? Are you going to Mass because you want to go to heaven? And that's the correct answer.
There's nothing else. Everything else is window dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else we do, if the goal is not to get to heaven, forget it. There's nothing else that you lost. You know, I mean, it's like when I always think about we talk about the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, right? You know, at the end, faith won't exist. You won't need it. It's right in front of you, everything. Hope won't exist because you'll either have gained or lost everything you ever hoped for. It's charity. And you live charity here, and it brings you to charity, which is how people live in heaven. And I think that's what we have to look at it. And we work towards how the salvation of souls. Biggest act of charity you can do. The Fatima children were asked, are you willing to offer your lives in prayer and reparation so that people will avoid the terrible fate of eternal damnation, which she showed them, which she showed division of hell. True and real. It's there. It's not a matter of, you know, is this real? Is there hell? Yeah, it's there. Okay. And it's only logical that it has to be there, because people who choose to separate from God have to have a place to go, have to be away. Okay. And I'm not a doom and gloomer in this, but facts are facts. We make choices in life, and this is it. And we have to choose to become holy. Again, Thursday I'm going to have Susan Tassoni on the show, and she talks, of course, purgatory. Why does purgatory exist? Because we haven't made sufficient reparation in life to get to heaven, but we have that, again, the mercy of God to prepare us for the eternal glory. And we can't forget that. I mean, we are, as His Excellency pointed out, I mean, we are the church militant. We don't use that like we should anymore, okay? You know, but we are. There's the church, you know, militant, the church suffering, and the church triumphant. And we all want to be part of the church triumphant.
And I think sacred scripture makes it very clear that we are in a battle. You know, fight manfully, fight so as to win. Yeah. And this really is a battle for our salvation.
Sure.
You know, your comments reminded me of a beautiful story regarding St. John Vianney, who was asked to write a book on how to get to heaven. And so he took a manuscript and he took a couple of days and prayed. And he returned the manuscript and he wrote the words, "Will it.
Will it.
Will it.
Will it.
Desire. Desire heaven."
Yeah, desire it.
And I think that's the whole thing. It's like, if you truly desire it, you're going to use all the means. And you know what? Rain falls everywhere, but the church has opened up these seven rivers, and these are the sacraments.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, the more we use these, the more we use these great rivers, that's going to be what's going to usher in the new evangelization.
Yeah,
exactly. And so it's not complicated. You don't have to have another program. You don't have to have, I think, just take holiness seriously, and you're going to see miracles. And I, you know, so.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have to take another break here, and when we come back, we want to wrap up, talk a little more about some of the things that are happening, and give some people some resources to go to. So I'm David Carollo, sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in for Father Anthony today here on WNDZ AM 750, The Winds of Change. So I'm here with Father Joshua Caswell, and just a little more what we were just talking about. What is the purpose of our devotions? What is the purpose of what's done, you know, like at St. John's, but in the church in general? We do as members of the World Apostle of Fatima, the Blue Army, and we have many things going on. Even in the Archdiocese of Chicago here, we have the beautiful chapel of Our Lady of Fatima, of course, at 3051 North Christiana. And for more information on that, you can call 708-489-6055. But it is a lot of many beautiful events that are going on there, and not just related to Fatima, but their devotions. Different groups come in there and use the chapel. The chapel, of course, was it's interesting how that chapel was always known as Our Lady of Fatima Chapel, even when it was a flow overflow church for St. Hyacinth, the Polish Basilica, in the days when the Polish immigration had this city was just loaded with Polish immigrants, you know, my own in-laws included in that, and that's why the tradition. We do owe a lot, I think, to that Polish tradition with these beautiful churches here, though, because they did, and the Congregation of the Resurrection came, and they really did bring strong Catholicism here. But like I said, you know, we were speaking when the bishop was here, that I think part of our downfall is that we were so ethnic in our parishes, and as the ethnicity dissipated, so did the parishes that we were in. You know, of course, there's been a resurgence thanks to just great gentrification, which has changed the neighborhoods around here and around St. John Cantius and such. But what happened in St. John's over the last 30 years, really amazing. you know, and I was there from the beginning. I mean, I was there 30 years ago when Father Phillips first went there and started, you know, brought in the Missa Normativa, the first of the Latin, brought Latin back, not in the traditional Mass, but in the Novus Ordo Mass. And I think he followed what Monsignor Schuller had done up in Minneapolis, St. Paul. So, there was always this hold on to the traditions. You know, our Catholic religion has two bases, faith and tradition. And we can't throw out tradition. I think that's what happens in the Protestant world. They've thrown out a lot of tradition, okay, for whatever reason. I mean, I think that's what makes it incomplete. Of course, the sacraments are what make it totally incomplete. But the reality is it's built on a tradition going along. And we can't forget that.
That's right.
You know.
And the amazing thing I've noticed, I work a lot with Protestants in the city of Chicago. And I know a lot of pastors, Protestant pastors, who are, because of their love for Jesus and their desire to become holier, are now looking back to tradition.
Sure.
I was at a Protestant church, and he's beginning Lent. He's putting out beautiful images. So there's this look, which is kind of odd, because he actually wanted us to teach him Gregorian chant. So we have parishes, Catholic parishes, who are throwing out those things, but the Protestants are picking them up. But I think, you know, I think you're, when people really seek Christ, you want to use all the means necessary to get closer to Him.
Well, people are seeking God. It's part of human nature. Mm-hmm. I mean, it truly is. And I think the fact that we just have to help direct people, right? And the rituals in the Catholic Church are elevating. They bring you to that. When you come in, that's why some of the churches you go into, they're just so modern, and they're devoid of, and I don't want to get into a critique of church architecture and demodeling that has happened in many places, but when I walk into church, I want to be drawn. I want to be drawn to something that elevates me. I know that our chaplain, of course, you know, from our shrine in New Jersey, the Blue Army Shrine in Washington, New Jersey, our chaplain, Father James, Father James Walling, mm-hmm. is a father of mercy, and he fills in at a number of parishes. He helps out in the diocese as they come and help out at our place. And he said one church he goes to, he always notices that when he elevates the host, he looks up and the crucifix is right there. He said it's very powerful for him, because he said you're looking up and then, well, yeah, now you see what you're offering, you know. We're visual.
We have to be honest. We are sensate beings, and St. Thomas Aquinas taught us that we learn and encounter God through the senses. And so, one of the greatest tools we have, Bishop Rojas used to say this a lot about our churches, is they are the best tool for evangelization.
Yes.
And I think that when we have people come off the street regularly into these churches, whether it's St. Stan's upstairs or whether it's St. John Cantius, and you watch and you see the effect, you see the wonderment.
Yes.
And especially if they come in at 12:45, during the middle of the High Mass at St. John's, they get a barrage. They've heard the bells outside. There's one sense. They come inside. They see the architecture, and they notice the small box, the tabernacle, just draws their eyes, draws their eyes upward. And then they smell the incense. They hear the beautiful music wafting off the choir loft. Yeah. And finally, if you are Catholic, then in a climax of taste, you actually taste the sacred species. So this is how we encounter God.
Sure.
This is what John says, the Word that became flesh, who dwelt among us, whom we have touched. And so I think that that's the program for the new evangelization.
Yeah, it is. And the new evangelization is truly to, what the Holy Father meant at the time was to bring people back. Okay, mm-hmm. That was the focus. Certainly new people, but to bring people back to the faith, to rediscover their faith, to revert.
Exactly.
Okay, you know, come back to the Catholic faith. And because it's a tradition, it's very disturbing, the number of, especially millennials, who identify themselves as, quote, none, no religion whatsoever. Scary, because
but you know what the amazing thing about these same millennials is that they're identifying as no religion, but yet their websites, whether it's BuzzFeed or Vice or whatever it might be, they're leaning into astrology, horoscopes, they're leaning into the occult, they're leaning into yoga, they're leaning into all these things. So they want mysticism. They're looking for the beyond, they're looking for mysticism. It's more than the empirical world. And so when the church drops mysticism, when the church drops the sense of the sacred, who picks it up? The world picks it up, and the devil uses it for his purposes. So that's our
Absolutely.
Job to bring that back, to bring the sense of the sacred
it's
back.
It's ours.
It is.
That's why I like, this is ours. Get out of our realm.
Mm-hmm.
but it's beautiful. I think, you know, and we do have many resources. And, of course, we have many in our organization in the World Apostle of Fatima and the Blue Army. And BlueArmy.com is a great resource. We've done many things. Of course, Father, you were with us in the centennial. You narrated our our documentary, Fatima, A Message of Hope.
It was a great honor.
Yeah, and then, well, we were honored to have you, and I appreciate that. And just a little aside, remind you of the day we did that. It was on Election Day in 2016.
I sure do.
And then you stayed at our house that night, and no, and the phone ringing, we sat up and watched the election returns till 3 o'clock in the morning.
I do remember that. It was great.
But the... But this is, you know, this is a very special. We received very high regard for that. We did the 13-part series, Fatima, Hope for the World, 13 period. I narrated that. And then His Excellency Bishop Rojas he narrated for us in Spanish, and we were very grateful. And I found EWTN told us that we received just, they played it in between their shows throughout the year, but just on social media, they got over 1 million hits on that.
That's amazing. I can't believe how much the World Apostle Fatima has been able to accomplish in the past like few years. It's really amazing. You just see the programs that you're putting out in different languages, and there are so many resources, and it's just beginning.
Well, it is just beginning, and we have many plans. Our shrine is located 50 miles west of New York in western New Jersey in the foothills of the Pocono Mountains. Beautiful place.
Nestled there in a beautiful area.
You'll be back with us in July with His Excellency Bishop Perry. We'll be back there. And of course, we have a great lineup this year. May 13th, Archbishop Chaput is coming from Philadelphia. In July, of course, Bishop Perry, you'll be there for our weekend of Eucharistic Reparation. August 13th, Cardinal Burke is coming again.
Amazing.
2 years in a row, always welcome him. On September 13th, Bishop Caggiano of Bridgeport. And on October 13th, as every year, Bishop DiMarzio of Brooklyn comes. And that's with on top of all the other events we have. And for those who really would like to join us, I know we're a distance from people here in Chicago who primarily are listening to the show. But on our website, BlueArmy.com, just click on that webcam and you can participate in everything we have going out there. Not just on our noon mass every day, but on our big events on the 13th of May through October. BlueArmy.com. And, of course, our trips. We have many trips. We're going to have a trip to the Holy Land with Bishop Perry in July. We have our big Fatima trip to Fatima in November, as well as another trip to Italy in October. And for anybody we'd like to join, pilgrimage is a way to really get the faith in your heart.
It really is.
And we do.
Life-changing.
And our pilgrimages, believe me, they're catechesis. That's why we do them.
They're solid. They're not like you're not going to be distracted.
Right.
You go into this. So, yeah, if you've been thinking about a pilgrimage and you need to change your life, definitely consider signing up for one of these.
Yeah. Ave Maria Pilgrimage Tours is our tour company. BlueArmy.com will get you directly to the information on that. And we own our hotel retreat center in Fatima, Domus Pacis.
Beautiful.
Very special place. But it's just, you know, these things, they all exist to bring people to the faith.
Amen.
That's why they're there. That's why our shrine, our beautiful shrine, 150 acres in the top of the hill, it brings people on an event day. We'll have 5,000 people.
And that's why Our Lady's not finished with the shrine. It's just, I think it's just beginning. Just like many of these parishes here, of these faithful Poles, these faithful immigrants, you know, God is just going to use them, the great sacrifice that people have used. So,
Well, let's think about this. In 1985, if somebody said to whoever that in 30 years, I'm going to show you a picture of what this place is going to look like in 30 years. They'd have laughed at him. Okay, think about that. I'll never forget that.
It's true. That's the same thing with St. Stanislaus. Some great renovations happening
upstairs.
Look at
the beautiful renovations here at the church right now. It's just magnificent. It really is.
And Father Tony's dedication to understanding that beauty really is that important part.
It is.
And if you take care of God's temple, He will take care of the rest.
Right. That's why you walk in and you want that theocentricity when you walk in. You want your eyes drawn to the front and focusing on primarily the tabernacle. So anyway, thank you, Father, for being here today. And again, for more information, BlueArmy.com for our organization, ToltonCanonization.org, and of course, Cantius.org for more information. So thank you again, and we look forward to, I'll be back here on Thursday with Susan Tassoni on The Winds of Change. God bless.
The shell appears strong, but the inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time.